This is Michelle Bader Ebbis.
Oh my gosh. Really?
I can't even say my own last name. Ebbis. You're Ebbisole. The one who usually, I'm not even going to cut this and start over because it's funny. I am Michelle Bader Ebersole. I do know my new last name. I have been in Ebersole for 10 months. I should know that. Just celebrated our 10-month anniversary of being married. Yay. Like 2 more months and it'll be a year. Crazy. Anyways.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. But I'm here with my friend and co-host, Mark Massaro. And how are you doing, Mark?
I am excellent. And just to rub it in, Mark Massaro. Like I can say my own name. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. But it's just two names. I have three now. So it's a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. So anyways, things are going good. I actually had a cool trip. I went, my mother-in-law and, I guess it'd be my aunt-in-law. I just call her my aunt, and then their like high school friend, the high school friend moved to Nashville.
Wait, I'm not following aunt-in-law, like Lacey's aunt.
Is that Lacey's aunt? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was following.
Call her Aunt Shelley, but Lacey's aunt, Lacey's mom, and then their high school friend.
Okay. Got it.
So the three girls, the friend moved to Nashville. So she needed to get her car here. So my mother-in-law, Aunt Shelley, and her name's Candy, they all drove across the country to Nashville. So while they were here, my kids and I drove to Nashville and visited with them.
Nice.
And so we had a good time. We pretty much just hung out at the hotel, but it was like, it was this cool hotel. They had like, you know, the dinner was included and, you know, whatever. It was cool. And so it was nice to get to see them. I haven't seen my mother-in-law for about 7 months, I think. And then my Aunt Shelley, I haven't seen her in like over a year. I think it was a little over a year. So it was just nice to catch up with them and, you know, fill them in on Tina and my new job and, you know, hear about what's going on with them and stuff. And so that was really neat. Actually, I had to go get my son today because he was sick. So that's been a bummer. You know, not much new stuff going on, to be honest. Just regular stuff. Still trying to wait for snow to melt.
Yours hasn't melted yet.
Not yet. And you know what? Honestly, it's a lot more gone than it was. But this was like somebody told me we hadn't had snow. Somebody from my work said we hadn't had snow like this in like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's funny because like, you know, for somebody who actually lives like, you know, New York or, you know what I mean? Somewhere that gets a lot of snow, they'd like laugh. But I'm like, we got like 8 to 10 inches. But our city is not really prepared to handle that.
Yeah.
So because it's so unusual, we usually get a couple inches every year max. So it was like 4 times what we usually get. So, you know, school's canceled and all this stuff, which I was talking about last time. But so anyways, honestly, not much going on. Just enjoying life and, you know, all good stuff. But not much new to report. Honestly, I was sitting there thinking of stuff and I couldn't really think of anything that's been new. So.
I just saw, I think it was like a new profile picture or something. It was really cute with Tina and the kids. Where were you guys at?
That was the trip that I talked about on here when we went to Anaquista. And it was like that little village on top of the mountain. Oh, it was awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, you know how it is when you go up an elevation, it's colder up there.
Yeah.
So we all get to the top and we were like all cold. So, the beanie that she's wearing, or toboggan for some of you, or cap, whatever, if you're snow one hat, of those people, like, snow hat, whatever, that we're all wearing. We all got them up when we were up there. And so all of our beanies say like Anaquista on them. Actually, I don't know if the girls did. I know Luke and I said Anaquista. But yeah, so that's where that was from. That was such a good time. We had a really great time together. And I just like, it's so neat to like, because I still tried to take my kids to do stuff even before we met Tina. I would try to take them out to go do stuff or whatever. But, man, it is so much more fulfilling. And I don't know, even know how to explain it. It's just way better doing stuff with Tina rather than just me and the kids. Because first of all, like, I get to share stuff with somebody, you know, like grown up things, you know, like, oh, look at that. That's pretty cool. Like things that the kids wouldn't care about or whatever. But also just having two sets of eyes on the kids is an incredible feeling for me. It's like not a lot of people would think about that, but it is like, I feel like sometimes I can like relax more too. Cause I'm like,
I'm sure
I don't have to be like, you know, hound dog, like looking all around at every little thing. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there? You know what I mean? Like she's very much jumps in and helps out with things and also helps with like decision making and stuff like that. I love it. And I love that. Cause you know, I'm winging it. I've never had a 7 and 10 year old before. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying my best, but like, there's just certain things that like she'll weigh in on that I'm like, oh, thank you. Like I needed to know that. She's already raised two kids.
Right.
And so there's times where I'm like, I don't know. Do you think that's like too much sugar for the day or so, you know, just little stuff like that. And she's like, well, like, it's kind of like, you know, we're doing something fun. Like it's okay for this one day or.
Yeah.
And she usually like, errs on the side of like the kids, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not like in any, but not in any bad way, but just she more so is about the kids having fun and loving life. And I love that because I'm so afraid of like messing things up that I can be a little too strict sometimes, I think. And she's like, just brings balance to the force for all of the Star Wars nerds out there.
Nice.
So that's where that was to answer your question. That was a really long answer.
No, it was a good answer.
So what's up with you?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for praying for me for the MRI. So I think I shared about going through it last time. It was kind of difficult, but I finally got the results and drum roll. I'm all good.
Yay.
I'm all good. I have nothing majorly wrong with me. It was just amazing to get the results. For the ear canal and for spine and for head. And I just, you know, I'd kind of gone to a place of fear. Like it was really bad for a while. And so it's just nice to know that I'm good. And just to have like proof of that when my mind starts going down all these, you know, cause I've had so many weird symptoms in the last couple of months. I still have the ringing in the ear, which is annoying, but I'm learning to live with it more. So it's not as annoying. I'm doing tinnitus retraining therapy where I'm like listening to, like, I think I talked about this before, sounds of crickets or sounds of whatever as much as I can. And I know that's helping. So, and then once your mind knows that it's nothing dangerous, like I don't have anything bad in my, like they've checked everything, then it helps to just relax about it.
Yeah.
But I'm still praying for total healing from that. But that's been huge, just getting those results and knowing I'm good. And
yeah,
like,
praise God. That's
so
awesome.
I'm going to tell you our theory. Me and Joel have a theory about this whole thing I've been through for 2.5 months. So Halloween was my first like weird headache where I felt lightheaded. And then I had migraines for a couple weeks. And then we think those were just migraines. Like I'd never had migraines. I didn't know what they felt like. So I started with the migraines, but I was so worried about it. I went to the doctor, went to like 4 or 5 doctors. One of them finally tested my B12. We found that the B12 was really, really high from a drink that I was drinking, Zip Fizz. I drank it 2 to 3 times a day for 12 years. I figured out it was 12 years and it has 104% of the B12 you're supposed to have. Now we're told you just pee out the rest. It doesn't do anything, but I have blood tests to, let's say otherwise. So when my blood test came back over 2000, like it doesn't go any higher. They didn't even tell me what it was. My doctor said she'd never seen one that high. That's kind of what started. So then I got off the B12 immediately and my body started freaking out and having all of these weird symptoms, like the nerve headaches, my fingers were tingling, just so many strange things that are actually all symptoms of B12 deficiency. So our theory, we are not medical doctors, but our theory is that, when I got off of it, I started having symptoms because I wasn't feeding my body all of this B12 anymore. These things started happening, including tinnitus. The ringing in the ear is a B12 deficiency. So wow. I'm hoping that goes away. So who knows? Not a medical doctor.
No,
but
that makes sense. It's very logical. And also, even if you got your body used to this very, very high dose of it, and now you are on you know, because obviously it's in food and stuff. So you're still getting some B12.
There's still some, but not like
but your body probably sees it as this massive deficiency from what it's used to having. So that, I mean, logically to me, that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, doctors will say that's what it is.
I'm also not a doctor, but I kind of know everything. Yes. So that makes sense.
Oh, yes, everything. Yes. So that's kind of our theory. Because I've had all these strange, like the nerve headaches felt like someone was like hitting me on the head, and then my fingers and toes were numb for weeks. That's gone now. Like everything comes and goes. And so I'm praying that the ear thing's been over a month, but that will go too. So anyways, thank you.
Would you say you're like a karma chameleon? Comes and goes.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that was the words. Yes, comes and goes. Anyways, that's that. I wanted to make sure to tell everyone because I know some people have been like following that and wondering how I'm doing. And it's just taught me a lot about faith again and about like trusting God and just I've learned a lot of lessons through that. Let's see. So our snow ended up closing every day last week of school. I mean, Monday they had off for MLK, and then Tuesday through Friday they were out of school due to snow and ice. My kids do school at home, distance learning. And so they don't have to make up any days or anything, but it was kind of fun. Like nobody had to go anywhere. So that was really good. Let's see, Joel went out of town, which was really sad for 3 nights. He had to go back to Louisiana to take care of some like plane stuff. I don't really understand everything he was doing. But it was actually, you know, I'm trying to look at the good. I got some like one-on-one time with each of my kids, you know, which is good that he does travel. So I can still have that time with them. So that was good. And then a couple more things. I have now had my book proposal professionally edited. I paid this lady to do that, and I'm sending it out to publishers. I've got one rejection, but I know that's going to happen. They just said it wasn't a fit for them, but I'm going to keep working on that. And then
that's awesome.
I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about grief recovery. Got a couple more new clients. Some of them have come through the podcast, which is really fun. And just really want to continue to build this widow community and pour into people. And thank you to those of you who have left us voice messages. We will be featuring one on every episode. So if, you know, Widow Too Soon has helped you, you could leave us a little voice message in the link below and we'll get you featured. So anyways, that's a little bit about what's going on. Now let's get into the episode. Well, we are really excited about our guests today. Joining us today, we have Liz Fidler. Liz, how are you doing?
I am great. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, we're super excited. Well, thank you for reaching out to us to be on your podcast, Bloom and Grow, with Liz Fidler, right? That's the whole name?
Yeah, because Bloom and Grow was taken. That's like a flower farming podcast, but anyway.
Yes. Well, it was super fun. We got to be on her podcast last week, and she has such a powerful story that we wanted our audience to be able to hear her and just what she's been through and how she has persevered. And it's just such an inspirational story. So we're just going to get right into it today. So Liz, can you tell us the story of how you met your late husband?
Yeah. So I was 22 years old, graduated nursing school, and my best friend and I happened to get jobs like 3 hours from where we went to college, where we grew up, which was we grew up like 20 minutes apart. And I was a nursing major, and she was in the agriculture field, like egg marketing. And we happened to like both get jobs in St. Cloud. We're like, all right, we're going to go for a year and pay off our student loans, because we went to college in South Dakota. We grew up like on the Minnesota side of the border, but they kind of call it outstate Minnesota, like rural Minnesota. And you know, we looked at getting jobs in like Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And honestly, at the time, RNs got paid over $10 less an hour than in Minnesota, because it's just, I mean, it's just, that's just literally the wage discrepancies between the states. And so I was like, you know, I'll just work in Minnesota. I'll move somewhere for a year or two, pay off my student loans. Like our plan was like, we're going to be weekend warriors. We're going to go visit our friends in South Dakota every weekend. Like we're just going here for the money, right? Like we're going to get this job. We're going to leave cheap. And, you know, we're only going for a year, maybe two. And it was like 3 hours from our parents. Well, we're both still here. and so she actually, so she had met her boyfriend through like a coworker, and I was kind of like feeling like the third wheel, like, okay, the plan was we were going to be here. We were going to be single. Like, and so I was actually looking at jobs like to move back closer to like other friends, other family. I had only been here a couple months, but it's, you know, like you're in a new place. And she's like, no, you should come out. Like, you just need to meet new people. I'm like, well, it's really hard when you're an RN because we all work weird shifts. We all work different shifts. Like, you know, and she's like, you just meet some of my coworkers. So they were going to have this big happy hour. It was supposed to be like 20 people going and after work. And I love her. But like, all of a sudden she's like, oh, I can't go. I have to be 3 hours away at a meeting at 8 a.m. the next day. So I'm going to have to like go down the night before and get a hotel for this meeting. I can't go, but you should still go. Like, mm-hmm. You want me to go to happy hour with your coworkers? Like, what? And so then I was like, no, I'm not going to go. Well, I don't know what she said to some of her coworkers, but they like felt sorry for me and like, oh, this poor girl like just needs a friend. And so Josh, actually my husband, or who I ended up, you know, marrying, my late husband, he like such a nice guy. And he's like, give me her number. Like, I'll text her. And he was 8 years older than her and I. And so he just kind of like, and he was like a manager within the office and like truly just like being a nice guy. And so he texted me and he's like, hey, I'll pick you up. You know, you can join us. And I was like, whoa, this is a date? Like, this is not what this is supposed to be. And so I kind of said back, I'm like, I don't know about that. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? Like, you don't know what any of us look like. Like, what, you're going to show up at this restaurant and bar for happy hour? Like, but that is your only option. And I still like, it just like kind of that challenge. I was like, fine, I will go and I will have fun and I will meet new people and I will show you, you know, it was not supposed to be a date or anything. And then, you know, he says, he's like, okay, the only description I got from Nikki was like, my best friend who hasn't really made any friends, like my roommate. And so he's like, I didn't know what was going to be on the other side of that door. Like, he wasn't, you know, he was just being nice.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, much before, you know, and what he wasn't planning on it being a date either. And so anyway, he picked me up. We went, it ended up like everyone else pretty much bailed on it. And it was only like another guy. And it was just like this so awkward for him. I'm still good friends with him and his wife now. And they're like, yeah, it was so weird being on like this love at first sight connection date, because like, honestly, the rest was history. 10 months later, we were engaged. We got married a year after that. So it was really fast, but it was just, that's kind of how we started dating. But about 6 months before we got married, I kind of got this like unsettling feeling. And I'm like, I think I need to go back to grad school. I think I need to be a nurse practitioner. And he was like, no, that wasn't the plan. Like, we were going to get married. We were going to have babies. Like, I'm, you know, he was almost 33 at the time. Like, he's like, this is not what we talked about, you know? And I was like, no, I feel the need to do this and I want to do this. And he's like, okay, all right, let's do it. So I applied to grad school. I actually started the week after we got married, and I was in a doctorate program. A couple of years into the program, we got pregnant with our daughter Vidalia. And so honestly, that from when we got married until really when he died, because then I finally graduated my program like end of 2019. And so, I mean, with me being in school and I had a lot of clinicals, and we were trying to be careful. We knew we didn't want to take out a ton of debt, you know, to pay for grad school. And so, you know, a lot of his friends and family, like, they didn't see him a lot the couple of years before he passed away, because he was supporting me. We had these goals and we were kind of finishing, like, we did everything right. We were, you know, trying to, you know, do all of that. And then obviously when I did graduate and we kind of had a little more time for friends and a little more time for fun and to revisit what are our hobbies, COVID hit. So it was kind of and we, in 2016, 2 years after we got married, he grew up on a farm about 5 miles away from where we were living, and his dad decided to retire. And it was the farm that my late husband grew up on, and he was actually the fifth generation. So our daughter, we didn't have any children yet. That was 2016. She was born the next year, but we knew our kids would be the sixth generation. And his mom actually died in a farming accident in 2010. And so we kind of like looked at each other and we're like, this is not a good time. This is not ideal. Like, how do we afford to buy this property? Cause it was kind of like, his dad's like, well, I'm going to move. I'm going to build a new house. So the farm is for sale. And if you guys want to buy it, you can buy it. Or if someone else wants to buy it, they can buy it. And so we kind of like, okay, how can we make this work? How can we, you know, and he just, you know, and he, I mean, he worked really sentimental assets like that are not necessarily an investment, but that's okay. Cause we, you know, we wanted it and that's where he wanted to raise his kids. And so yeah, we bought that, moved here in 2016. And then, yeah, like, I feel like our life was kind of just getting started and we had worked so hard in the 6 years of our marriage to like set us up for those next years. And he died of a heart attack while exercising. He ran 6 days a week. He had a physical actually the day before. His cholesterol was like under 100, which is like perfect. Like he had no risk factors. He wasn't overweight. He weighed 170 pounds. Like, I mean, there was nothing modifiable. He didn't use tobacco, didn't, you know, and I'm a nurse practitioner. So like, there's nothing, not that I could like blame it on, you know, if he had like some habits or something like that, like, oh, well, this happened because of this. Like, no, it just really fluke deal. And yeah, passed away of a heart attack. And then that was on a Wednesday. The funeral was on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
So,
wow. Yeah. And if I remember right from when we were recording with you, that was December 9th, 2020.
Yes. And that was same day as your wife.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So not my same wife, date. Yes. Yeah. Different year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's the girl I'm with, Tina. Everybody in our audience knows mm-hmm. who Tina is. That was the same day she lost her husband. I lost my wife on August 13th, 2020.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah. That's why I remember the date.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And so what was that like for you in the beginning? Just in shock I mean.
You know, I will say like, so we did fertility treatments. And I knew that there was a good chance that I was pregnant. We had, you know, like we literally had the ultrasound with the OB and like looking at it and they're like, okay, the egg is 14 millimeters. We're going to wait 2 more days because it should be between 18 and 21 when you take this trigger shot. Like, and if you wait 36 more hours before the trigger shot, like we knew I'm probably pregnant, you know, honestly, like, and all of us that were medical and like knew, you know, because I have a lot of friends that are doctors. I have a lot of like, I mean, my OB, my repro doc was at the wake. Like we were whispering about it because, you know, we didn't want everyone to know, but like, I was like, when can I take a pregnancy test? Because if I peed on a stick, it would have been positive because of the hormone, the trigger shot is the HCG hormone. And that's what it would detect. And so we were like, okay, when can I take a test to know that it's real? Because obviously emotionally I cannot handle like, well, it's positive, but we don't know yet. Like just don't take the test. And so, I mean, honestly, one of my best friends, she's like, honestly, like, I'm sure you're pregnant. She's like, I'm more worried that it's going to be twins. Like, cause eggs tend to split when you do fertility treatments and those types of things. And I'm like, just shut up. Like I can't even like, let me bury my husband and then we'll worry about the next thing. And it was obviously during COVID, Mark, your girlfriend probably attests to the same, like trying to plan a funeral during COVID and
like, we all of us,
we all do. All of us. And like, and everyone kind of looks at things differently, but we were in Minnesota. So at that time, restaurants were closed to dine in again. Like it was lockdown 2.0. And I knew Josh's thoughts on COVID and I upset a lot of people, but I was like family only, like 70 people at the funeral, like aunts and uncles and like pallbearers. But then we had like the day before we had outside in Minnesota, but it was like a beautiful day. It was like 40 degrees. We set up like 20 different bonfires. Cause again, I live on 40 acres and it was actually just a really peaceful, like, there were like 500 people here. Like it was probably illegal. Wow. Honestly, it was probably illegal like in the state of Minnesota at the time, you know, a gathering like that, but we were outside and, you know, we had to do something and that was, you know, so it wasn't a real wake, like his body wasn't here. But that's what we did. And then, yeah, the funeral was on Monday. And then on Tuesday morning, I went in to get a blood test. Cause we're like, I'm not just peeing on a stick. Like we need a blood test. We need a quantifiable number with the hormone. And then you can check it a couple days later to see if it goes up. And that is standard of care with repro treatment. So it was, I mean, we were definitely flirting with like, I went in for labs every other day for like a week and a half straight. Like finally my OB was like, okay, you're special, but you're not that special. Like, we can't keep doing this, or insurance not going to pay for it. And I was like, ask me if I care if insurance pays for this, like I'll pay, you know, or whatever. And we did an ultrasound right away to make sure like that it wasn't, you know, an ectopic pregnancy or like in a fallopian tube. And like, knowing the healthcare background that I have, I'm like, until I really like saw it on the ultrasound, like, okay, this is a embryo in my uterus. Like until I had kind of all those facts, like I just refused to believe that I was pregnant. Cause I was like, I'm trying to imagine my future, and it's hard enough without Josh, yeah. But I'm picturing me and Vidalia, and now there's this like potential other baby, and you know, in 9 months or 8 months or, you know, and just, yeah, it was a lot. It was,
yeah.
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot to process all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So take us back to like the day that he passed away. Cause we have a lot of people in our audience, you know, so Mark and I are widowed by cancer. So we had a long process, but we have people, mm-hmm. a lot of people like you who it was a sudden death, and that's a whole mm-hmm. other situation. Like, what did you feel like that day? Like, what was that like? Yeah.
So, our daughter's birthday was Monday, the 7th. It was her third birthday. I went to work. Josh went to work because we knew we both had Tuesday off. Every 3-year-old wants to go to daycare on their birthday anyway, right? Like, gets yeah. to wear the crown, gets to have yeah. treats. Like, we're like, whatever. So we did that. And then we picked her up and we ended up just like, went through the drive-through at like McDonald's or Burger King, cause that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
I had made a cool cake, whatever. And then on Tuesday I worked like 9.5-hour days. So I always had Tuesdays off. And then especially during COVID, I just had my daughter home with us. I used to send her to daycare cause that was like my day to like yeah. organize the house or whatever. But then we were like, we don't need to be sending her. We don't need any extra exposure outside of the home than we're getting and, mm-hmm. you know, just trying to reduce that amount. So she was home with me. And honestly, like my husband worked from home. He was a head of sales for like 22 counties for like an egg lender. Like, I mean, his portfolio of sales for like farmers was like, I don't know, like $1 billion. Like, it was, mm-hmm. like he had this huge, he had a really, like he was a VP. So he had a really like good career, and he was awesome. I actually got an email like after he passed away. Like, I found out he had like turned down promotions that I didn't know about, like that would have had him like on the airplane. Like, he was a really, really like dedicated worker. And he, for whatever reason, just like felt like playing hooky that day, that mm-hmm. Tuesday. Like, he's like, I know I should be doing something. I know I should be working on some meetings. I know I should be like checking in with my salespeople. But like, I was home, Vidalia was home. It was cold out, it was December, like we were just like playing with her birthday toys, like Legos and whatever, and he just like hung out with us all day, and he's like, aww. I should be in my office working. And like, for him to do that is that's never happened. Like, he was the most dedicated, like during COVID, like, or just anytime, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was, I don't know, kind of weird. Like, I actually have a lot of videos on my phone of that day before he died, them like dancing in the living room and pretending Sweet. Like he's a sleigh and whatever. And so we just, honestly, we had a really good day. I was sick, because I was taking this med. It's essentially like an estrogen blocker. So it's actually in the chemotherapy family, with part of my fertility treatments. And I had to take that for like 5 days, and it was like, you know, growing the egg and whatever. And so I was not feeling good. Actually, the day before at work, like, I had one of my partners, I'm like, can you prescribe me some nausea meds? Like, I just feel like I'm going to throw up. Like, I just, like, in that 5 days, I gained like 15 pounds of like bloating, and just like those meds suck. And so, cause yeah, I had taken like the trigger shot and stuff the week before, and, or like maybe the Thursday before or something. And so like, but overall, like, we had a really good day. And then on Wednesday morning, I woke up, I had to be like, my first patient started at 7:30. So I always left the house before 7, and he worked from home, but he didn't have to start until 8. And he brought Vidalia to daycare all the time just so that I didn't have to leave so early. And so he was still sleeping when I left. So I didn't see him at all that day. And there was a note on the mirror, and that's not that unusual, like, to have a note from him. Like, I have like a box of just like love notes, sweet. Or whatever. And it just said like, hey, I packed up some lunch for you. It's in the fridge. And he packed up some of our daughter's leftover birthday cake. And I try to be healthy, but like, I have a sweet tooth, like whatever. And you know, for like, I don't usually bring birthday cake for my lunch at work. Like yeah. you don't need to have birthday cake every day, but I was like, oh, that was nice. Yeah. And so, you know, throughout the morning we were texting each other. I saw my patients, and then around 12:30 ish, he just kind of quit responding. And like, I mean, I say it, he probably was dying while I was eating birthday cake. Like, and so like, I didn't hear from him, and I thought that was really weird. And I like even said to I'm like, I don't know, Josh just like quit texting me back. And that's really weird, because like, we were talking about like, okay, birthday's over. Now what do we get her for Christmas? Like, what are we even going to do for Christmas? Like, we're probably not getting together with family, because the vaccine wasn't out yet. It was still like, okay, we've made it this far without any of us getting really sick from COVID or anything. Like, how are we going to handle the holidays? And so we were kind of texting about that. And I just, he like kind of quit texting back. And then I was leaving, and I was going to go pick up our daughter. And I just had this like weird, like, this is weird, this is weird, but you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden I get a text message. I see my friend Katie's name come up, and her husband, Russ, was, Josh was his boss, but like, they were really good friends, and he was a groomsman in our wedding and stuff. And the second I saw her name, I'm like, oh, I bet it's like a picture of Josh and Russ, like having a beer outside or something. Cause then I remembered Josh was going to go to Russ's house, do his performance eval, like, and then like afterward, like they were probably done and like probably standing outside because it was COVID. And like, that, I mean, that was like his sales team. And so I was like, oh, I bet that's what that is. And I was driving, so I didn't look at it. And it was like, I felt calm, like, oh, that's, you know, whatever. And then I had this weird, like, nah, just glance at it. And then it said, not to alarm you, but have you heard from Josh? Mm. And I like pulled over, and I was like, this is not good. And then I looked, and technically, because we're at a daycare center, we don't have to pick up till 6 o'clock. So I was like, you know what? I have time to go home. We're going to laugh about, you know, this, but I'm going to go home. And then like, I started kind of panicking, and I was probably 5 miles from home. And so I called like our best friends, and I just said, okay, Sarah, I need you to go check on Josh. They live a half mile down the road. Like, I need you to just go check on Josh. And like, this is going to be something we laugh about. And like the time that I had the whole county looking for him, cause he like took a nap during the middle of the workday, or like, I don't know. I need you to go check on him. And so she, you know, within a minute was at our place, and she was on speaker. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, I have to go. And she hung up, and I knew it. I knew something, obviously. So I called my mom, and I just said, Mom, I don't know what's going on, but I'm pretty sure Josh is dead. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, I don't have any more information. But, and then by then I had pulled in the yard, and Sarah was standing on the front desk, and she had her phone out. Like, she was on speaker. And I heard someone say like, is his wife home now, or something like that? And I could tell like, that's obviously like 911 or something. And and she's like, no, you can't go in there. And I just like pushed her out of the way. I was like, I think I said like, I have to try. And I didn't even know what I was, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, did he cut himself while cooking? Like, I had no idea what I was going to find. And then he was slumped over at the foot of the treadmill. And I mistakenly, the heat vent was right there. And so I was like, he's still warm, like thinking like, you know, and so I like made Sarah help me drag him and like try to do CPR. And then that's when I realized like, no, he has been dead for hours and hours. Like, he was mottled, he was, you know, like rigid. And so, yeah, we went back outside, and I don't even know, all of a sudden, like, cops came, ambulance, you know, like,
wow,
people started showing up. Yeah.
Just complete shock. Wow. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. That is, that's just unimaginable.
Traumatic.
Yeah,
day.
That's a word.
And I remember, like, so it's COVID, and we were a part of the reason for the great toilet paper shortage. Like, we were like ordering in bulk from Sam's Club, and the box like had toilet paper on it. It wasn't like a brown Amazon box. And it was like sitting on the front steps, and people kept just like skirting around it, like going in and out of the house, or like, you know, whatever. And I remember looking over finally, and I swear it took like hours for them to like come and get his body. Like my timeline of it is so weird. Like it might've been 5 minutes. It might've been 5 hours. My mom is 3 hours away and somehow she got there in 20 minutes. I don't know how that worked. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a blur. I just remember looking over at the house and seeing like they're backing out, like with my husband on a body bag and like this, I shouldn't laugh, but it's like, oh my God, how else do you think about it? And he literally like drop kicks this box of toilet paper, like out of the way, just like kicks it out of his way. And I was like, well, this is like just that vision of like 2020 is like the year of toilet paper. Like, so even now, like I can't look at toilet paper without thinking about my husband. I can't, you know, I just like think about that and like that day and like just so much of that day is such a blur. But like that moment, I just remember looking over. I'm like, this is not my life. I didn't sign up for this. Right. How is this real? Like, this is not real. And then what gets weirder is my best friend that I talked about that I moved up here with her. So she actually was widowed in 2015. Her husband died in a farming accident in 2015 and they had a 7-month-old, her daughter Quinn. She's still like my best friend. She lives 5 minutes away. Like, but I had a front row seat to young widowhood. I mean, I've been there through all of it, right? Like I was there for the funeral planning. I was there for, I mean, just literally everything through the, when she took off her ring through the, like, I mean, just everything, you know, for 5 years, I was right there. And so I thought I put more time into thinking about, well, what would I do? What would, if that was me? And still nothing like I thought.
Right.
Wow. So what were the like first few days like for you?
I didn't sleep, I mean, at all. Like, I just, you know, try to lay down. And, like, every time I closed my eyes, I just saw his face. You know, his eyes were open. Like, I just could not get that nightmare out of my face or out of my head. And I just, like, it was probably the next afternoon. Finally, my mom, like, I think people were probably tiptoeing around it. And finally, my mom's like, Liz, we have to plan the funeral. And I just looked at her and I'm like, what? Like, I have to do this. Like, what? I have to do it? And she's like, yeah. Like, I mean, she's like, well, we'll help you. But yeah, that's how that works. And I just, okay. All right. And so we actually, in such a strange way, so with his mom died in an accident 10 years prior. And, you know, we still belong to the same church. Like, we used the same funeral home. We did the same readings because Josh picked out those readings for his mom's funeral. I ended up picking the same casket that he picked for his mom. Like, they still make that same one. And I was like, well, I guess he liked that one. I don't know. Like, it just, you know, like, we just kind of got through that piece of it. And obviously, like, the overwhelming support, the overwhelming, you know, but I think I, with it being such a shock, like, I just focused on, like, in the back of my mind the whole time, I'm thinking, like, maybe I'm pregnant. My family was obviously here, staying here. Like, I mean, I saw my daughter. She was 3. Like, I tried to, like, not cry too much in front of her. I tried to, you know, but, like, I wasn't, other people were taking care of her. Other people were watching her. Like, I tried to, like, read her a book at night. You know, that type of thing. But I literally was like, get through these days. And, you know, obviously an autopsy had to be done. We were pretty sure it was a heart attack. Like, what else would it be? But actually I didn't get the death certificate and the report back, the autopsy report, until March, end of March. Like, and then I started really thinking, I'm like, well, what position was he in? Like, did he fall and hit his head? Did he have like a hemorrhagic stroke and that's how he died? Like, I mean, all of a sudden, like, you know, the things, and so, like, I truly, and that was what was so hard. And people kept asking, how did he die? How did he die? And my sisters actually, because people started like asking, and you know how people like on social media, like, start changing their profile pictures to a picture of him and him in college, or, you know, and it just, but nobody said anything. Like, his sisters didn't post anything. And so it was like 2 days after he died, I started getting all these text messages and they're like, what is going on? What's wrong? Like, and people were asking, and I was like, do we seriously have to like issue a statement here? Like what, you know? And it's also important to note that we were actually pretty well known in the area for a variety of reasons. One, my husband grew up here. He went to high school here. He went to college only 10 minutes away. He was the student body president when he went to college there. So he knew a lot of them. So he was active like as an alumni. He was the head of sales. So like just a lot of people knew him there. He was on our township board. So a lot of people, you know, all of the neighbors knew who he was. And then I used to be in the float pool as a nurse or as an RN. So I would float to all of the units at a pretty big hospital. So a lot of people knew who I was or knew of me. And then I was a primary care provider for 800 patients on my panel. And I might not know all 800 of them, but you know who your doctor is, you know? And so we were pretty well known in the area. And then actually that summer before COVID had started, or that summer before during COVID, we had started this little like farm stand at the end of our driveway, just kind of for fun. And we're like selling flowers at the end of our driveway, just honestly, like a little like passion project, kind of like started a little mini flower farm. Just like, it was always going to just be a side thing. Like I was a nurse practitioner. He was like, it wasn't, you know, going to be anything, but I had like a business page on social media and we had a couple thousand followers there and everyone knew who the farm stand was. And like the local news had done a little story on it. So again, like a lot of people knew who we were and people were like, well, what, you know, what happened? What's going on? And understandably, you know, when you, and so then we put something, my sisters took my phone and they just posted like a picture of me, Josh, and Vidalia and said, you know, we know people are starting to hear Josh was found dead in our home 2 days ago. We don't have a lot of answers. Like we're just, you know, whatever, because we didn't know that it was a heart attack. Well, then how do you think people interpreted that? How do you think they thought he was found dead? Suicide. And so, and I, anyone who is listening to this, who lost their spouse to suicide, please don't get upset with what I'm saying. Like, I believe that the amount of grief or the unexpected, like, I cannot imagine what that is like. But again, like, and so people, so then I was getting upset that people were, I was more upset about people being upset that they said that, like kind of as the like understanding healthcare person in me, like, you know, people are like, it wasn't suicide. You know, we need to set that straight. I'm like, well, what if it was? Like, so then I don't deserve any, you know, like, and it just was this like, and it wasn't, but what if it was? Would that change people's opinions or would people quit bringing over food? Like what? And it was just this really, like, I was really shocked at how upset so many people were about that. And like, I mean, I was being told by like a lot of his friends that I didn't even really know. They're like, you need to put something on there about how it's not a suicide. I'm like, what is going on? Like what, you know, anyway. And so I think my sisters ended up saying like, he died while running on the treadmill, you know, or just something like that. And we don't know for sure. We think it's a heart attack, but we don't know for sure. But it was definitely
so hard. So obviously things are extremely hard. You find out you're pregnant. How do you keep going? Like what was it that gave you hope and helped you to get to where you are today?
Yeah, I will say, I mean, it was a solid month of not getting out of bed. My sister moved in with me. I had someone staying with me. My younger sister had just like, she was in between jobs. And so she's like, you know, I'll just move in with you for a while. I'm like, okay. And she was 23. It was not like on Full House. It was not, you know, but honestly, I think it was probably four or five weeks after he died that, so then I was like 7 or 8 weeks pregnant maybe. And that's when I realized like, this is happening. I'm going to have this baby. Like what would this look like? And I literally decided that day, like, I don't even know how to describe it other than like, I just decided I was going to try to find some happiness. And so every single day for that month, we went through the car wash, my 3-year-old and I. And you don't go through car washes in January in Minnesota. It's like 5 degrees out. So like the water was like freezing, and like it was a really dumb thing to do. But it just was like she would laugh at the bubbles. She would laugh at the colors. She loved it. And I just realized like, okay, like I can't control anything, but I can choose to find some happiness. Like it is intention. My late husband and I, we had actually done some marriage counseling after I got out of grad school. And it's not that we were like, we never like threw around the word divorce, anything like that. But it's like our whole marriage had been like him really like supporting us and making decisions and like taking care of everything so that I could just focus on school and try to keep working a little bit of as an RN, because, you know, we were trying not to take out a bunch of student loans. Like, we didn't want our choices to be dictated by a mountain of student loan debt by the time I was done. Like, we were doing everything right, but, you know, everything right, you know, to like set ourselves up and build toward the future. And so when I finished, it was kind of this like role, we had to figure out the roles of our household and what's our plan here. And, you know, maybe I do want to say in like helping meal plan. And like, I know you've been doing that and you've been doing a great job, but like, I can help take on some of that stuff. And so, you know, we were like, well, we get 5 free marriage counseling sessions, like through his insurance. And okay, so we did that. And I think we went 2 or 3 times, and Pam was our therapist. And like, it was, you know, maybe a year prior from when he died that we were like doing that. And okay, so then I don't know if it was the day after, I think it was the day after he died, I called her office, and she just like, it's her that answers the phone. And I said, hi, Pam, like, do you remember who I am? And she's like, yeah, I know who you are. Why? What's up? You guys want to come back and see me? And I said, actually, no, Josh died yesterday. And she, I mean, we talked on the phone for an hour, and it was just this like to come up with a plan. And obviously, like, I basically had a free therapy session right there, but to have a therapist that we both had seen already.
Yeah.
And so I went, and I think I saw her twice, and then I was like, and I think I'm pregnant, you know, she's like, oh, okay. And I think the next week I went and saw her that like Thursday or Friday. And then I saw her every week for about a month, and then every other week, every third week. And then around the time that actually I gave birth, I quit going to her, or, you know, and I've gone back a couple times since, but having that in place already was huge, and having that established relationship.
Yeah. So the day that your son was born, right? You had a boy next?
Girl.
A girl. Okay. Sorry.
Yep, her name is Davy. Her name is Davy. So it's her a boy name. So it's okay.
Yeah. That's super cute. Okay. So when you had her, tell me about that day. Was there grief on that day because your husband wasn't there?
Yeah, of course. It was, I don't know. I think I had this like overwhelming sense that like, it's going to be okay. Like I just, you know, obviously like it's my job to safely deliver this baby. Like this baby needs to come. And I was like, you know what? Nothing's going to happen to me. Nothing's going to happen to this baby. Like, we decided to induce me, my OB and I did together. Like, we decided that was going to be the best thing, just to kind of get rid of any variables that might, you know. And so I got induced the day before my due date. And it just, like, when I got the epidural, that was when, obviously, you can't move around anymore. You're confined to bed. And that was when it, I lost it. Like, I just, yeah, I mean, like, panic, sure, attack, like, breathe it, you know, and just, like, it was just, like, a lot of, like, you know, they were like, Liz, your heart rate's getting pretty high. I'm like, oh, I'm trying. Like, I'm trying to breathe through this. But, yeah, and that was honestly probably the most I cried since he died. I don't know, probably even more. Like, it just was like, you know, but then honestly, like, once she was born, you know, and she, you know, perfectly healthy, like, I had a really good pregnancy. Like, my first pregnancy was literally, I was on FMLA for migraines, like debilitating migraines, with my first, from like 7 weeks to 19 weeks, I was in the ER every single week. Like it was terrible. And so then this pregnancy, I think I had like 30 minutes of maybe a little nausea. I didn't actually throw up. But like that was it. Like that was it. That was literally my only symptom. Like I only gained 15 pounds. I exercised constantly, like, or just like, but I ate so healthy. Like I was so healthy that entire, cause I had something to focus on. Right. Like I just knew like, this is my job. This is something I can control. I can make sure that I take good care of, you know, have a healthy pregnancy. I met with like a pediatric cardiologist, because of, you know, Josh dying of a heart attack, and, you know, she had like a fetal echo and we did, you know, some extra like perinatology stuff. And they were like, it was a fluke deal. Like it was arrhythmia. There was no, like, he didn't have some weird cardiac valve disorder. Like there is no risk factors. And he's like, you can get a baseline EKG to check out the rhythm on both girls, like one time when they're younger. But like after that, like they do not, I mean, they tell their doctor that, yeah, my dad died at 39 of a heart attack, but like, there's no, they are not at any higher risk than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when I met with, so then actually the pediatric cardiologist came and saw me. I think they had a mental health provider come in like four times when I was in the hospital, because obviously I'm at pretty high risk for postpartum depression, and I really was okay. I was like, you know what? I had a job to do and I did it. And, I feel a little bit weird saying this, but I know that there's a lot of like Christian listeners on your podcast. Mm-hmm. And so they'll get this. And I am in no way comparing myself to Mary. I am in no way comparing myself, you know, my daughter to Jesus. But there's a song called Breath of Heaven.
Yeah.
And I listened to that the whole time of my pregnancy. Like, I am wondering, like, why me? Like, what? Yeah. And I don't think that this, you know, like a lot of people said some weird things, like spiritually, like a life for a life and. Oh my goodness. You know, just like weird things. I'm like, oh, so my husband had to die so my baby could be born. Oh, that's no, so that's awful. Not what I meant. And I'm like, well, that's what she said. Like, do you want my daughter growing up thinking she's the reason? Like, he had to die so I could get pregnant. Like, that's no, like, anyway, that's the people try, right? They're trying to like, whatever. But like that song, Breath of Heaven, was very comforting to me. Like, okay. Like, and again, I hope nobody listening is like, wow, she thinks highly of herself. No, it makes sense. But it was a very like, probably, so I think,
probably kept you going.
Yeah. Right? And
I've got this new life in me.
Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, what more of a sign of life goes on than literally growing another life inside of you. And, and also like, I'm all they have. I'm what they have. Like, this is,
Yeah, that's a thing that really pushes us forward, those of us that are parents, is like, I had a lot of people ask me, how do you do it? How do you do it? I don't know how you do it. And it's like, what option is
there? Option is there? Like, I remember asking my best friend a couple months in, and like, now I realize that was maybe like insulting the way I asked to her, because I get insulted when people say it. But again, all those lessons we learn, right? But I was like, how are you doing this? I'm like, if it was me, I would just be like locked in the bathroom with a bottle of booze. Like, how are you doing this? And she's like, no, you wouldn't. And, you know, I get upset when people are like, oh, I don't know how you keep going. Like, I just wouldn't be able to. And I'm like, so you're saying you love your husband more than I do? Or like, you know, it's again, like, how do you, you know, but that's not how I remember. I didn't mean it hurtful toward her. So when people say something like that to me, they don't mean it hurtful. But yeah, I remember always asking her, like, how do you keep going? How do you do this? And she's like, someday I need to tell my daughter, like, she's going to ask questions and she's going to say, how'd you do it? And she's like, if I'm going to tell her the story of how we got through this, we got to get through this. Like, it's step one, get through it. And and it just, you know, I remember the first anniversary, and it was 2 days after our daughter's fourth birthday, of course. And both the girls got COVID. So Davy's 4 months old with COVID. Vi got positive COVID on her birthday. And at that time it was still the 10-day quarantine.
Yeah.
And, but they were like very mildly sick. Like I really wouldn't have tested them. Probably now I wouldn't, like I would, I, they had like runny noses. They didn't even have fevers. Like, but because of daycare, they had to, so they could go back and whatever. And they were both positive. And, you know, at first it was like, oh, this is terrible. And then I remember like, and then all these people were like, oh, I really want to come visit you. It's the 1 year. And I was like, nope, sorry, we got COVID, but you can leave some soup on the front steps if you want. Like, leave the presents, but can't visit. Sorry. Like, and it was actually, I just like, again, I'm like, I don't think that God sent this pregnancy because of Josh or whatever, but like maybe he sent COVID like to let me to, or, you know, to the girls so that I could have this time at home to grieve on my own and just get through that first.
Yeah, it's hard. So here we are a little over 3 years later. What is your life like now?
Yeah. So I told you guys this before the call, last night, my fiance and I filled out the marriage application online.
So exciting. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. No, honestly, I can truly say that I love my life. I have a happy, very fulfilling life. I completely changed careers. I have a podcast. I have multiple podcasts now. I have my Bloom and Grow with Liz Fidler podcast, but I also, what I do and what pays the bills. I have a flower farm. So like that, it awesome. Exploded. My sales are like 20 times what they were of that little farm stand, and people come and pick their own flowers, and I've got employees, and I'm starting to like coach and teach other people to do that. And I have my flower farming podcast, Sunny Mary Meadow. And that's starting to like pick up sponsors, and I've, you know, written a couple books and eBooks, and like, it's crazy. Like what, you know, just being open to saying maybe. I still work one day a week as a nurse practitioner. Very fortunate that my employer let me do that. And obviously, you know, the other biggest factor is Brent, my fiance.
And how did you guys meet?
So he was actually friends with my late husband.
Okay.
So Josh died on a Wednesday, and Friday morning at 6 a.m., I didn't have his phone number, so I called him on Facebook Messenger, and I said, because he was also, like, best friend. So he was, like, a secondary friend, right? Like, like the friend, like your best friend's other best friend, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, but they, you know, but they were like 5 years apart. They went to the same college, like, and we hung out in groups a lot, and we had a lot of good friends, but he wasn't like super close. Like he was at my husband's bachelor party. Like stuff like that. Like they were that close, but they weren't like best friends, which is probably good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I called him at like 6 a.m. on Facebook Messenger. And I said, you need to come babysit Brian because he's driving me crazy. And that was like their mutual best friend. I'm he's driving me crazy. He keeps like making plans for these bonfires for this wake. And like, he's been here since 5 a.m. And like, I'm going to kill him. Like, I don't know. Like, I just like you and you get it. Like those people that just like he just kept hugging me and kept like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you need to get Brian away from me. And it's your job. And he's like, I'm literally on my way. I'm like, okay. Like, and he was literally there within 5 minutes. He was like already on his way. Cause he just knew like, Brian's going to have a hard time with this. Like, cause that was Josh's, actually it was his first cousin, but they were like, I mean, it's like mentor mentee, like my brothers, they farm, and they compared it to like when a baby calf can't find its mom. Like that's what Brian was doing. Like the whole like week before Josh died, like just was like clinging to me. And I'm like, I'm not going to bring Josh back. You're really annoying me. And that sounds terrible to say, but like, we've joked about it now, like, we can, you know, whatever. And so he was kind of unexpectedly there, like in the very beginning. And he was a bachelor. He actually was dating someone at the time. Like it was very, you know, and you know, I had my daughter, and I mean, he just was a good friend. And like, when I would reach out like, hey guys, and cause I've got this 40-acre hobby farm, like I need help with some stuff. I need help with snow removal. I need help with these things. And so like, I mean, he was like maybe in a group text or whatever of like, guys, I need help with this or that. And he was probably one of the one that was the most available to actually help because he didn't have a family. He didn't, you know, have other responsibilities. And so it was probably like a good year of him just like helping a lot. And I say like, we didn't date, nothing really, like there was no anything until all of a sudden, like he moved in. Like, mm-hmm. I remember looking at my mom and she's like, so Brent. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I can't, I got to focus, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's he exciting. Has been phantom, but they yeah. don't remember. Daddy in heaven, daddy on earth. Okay. Brent actually recently, he just bought one of those, like it was really sweet for Christmas. He got one of those, like picture frames with all the photos in it. Mm-hmm. And he actually got like the SD card from the funeral home that made the slideshow. And he like,
oh, wow.
put that up like for Christmas. Cause I'm nice. Like, cause I ended up building our new house last year.
Wow.
That Josh and I had planned on, right. We were saving for, we already had blueprints, like not the like final renderings, but we already had like the floor plan and stuff of our house. When he passed away, cause we knew like we moved into this really 130-year-old farmhouse. And so like, I've struggled with trying to like, where do I put up pictures of Josh and how do I, you know, how do I this new life and where do I, you know, how do I do that? And like, yeah, he got this picture frame and yeah, he's so very great about sweet. It. Sometimes like we'll get in a little bit of a argument or like, cause there really are three people in this relationship, right? Like, and you know, opinions or like, you know, just ways to raise the girls or activities or whatever. And, you know, sometimes I'll be mad. I'll be like, well, Josh wouldn't like this or whatever. And he'll like, more often than not, he picks Josh's side and he's like, well, somebody, he's not here. Like, he's not here to defend himself. Like, someone's got to like stand up for him. And I'm like, whose side are you on or whatever it might be. But I don't know. It's just there's no book on it on dating a widow, but I would say that he could write it if he needed to. So he has awesome. Been great. Very understanding. And yeah.
So we have, well, I know you've got to go. One last quick question. What yeah. advice would you give to a new widow?
Honestly, I would say face the feelings head on right away if you can. And I definitely did that. I had angry days. I had sad days. I embraced them because you're going to have to feel them eventually.
Yeah, that's good.
And it just, you don't get better at, and it sucks. Like, why do we have to be the ones to evolve and change and get better and like, you know, why can't other people be better about not saying hurtful things? And they can, and they should, but like, we have to just realize that not everyone has our shared experience and
yeah.
we're all very thankful for that. And so the sooner you acknowledge like maybe what those triggers are or whatever, like you get better at like giving grace and giving, you know, but I mean, I'm not saying like, don't hold on to like, feel the anger. That's okay. Like that's a part of the grieving process. Embrace it in the beginning. And I'm not saying being angry, but like, just don't hide from working through those emotions because you're going to have to do it eventually. And you can't start seeing the joy that's or good. The better part.
Yeah, that's great advice. We often tell people that whatever you feel is okay. Whether it's anger, sadness, whether you want to laugh, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when you came on my podcast, you talked about the analogy of like the clouds and like how it's really cloudy and the sun starts peeking out. Like I, you know, and I think, and then Mark, you talked about the waves. So it's kind of funny. I actually have my own little analogy that I've always thought about it. Like we are given all this stuff to carry and it's like our weight to carry and it doesn't get any lighter, but at first we're like, okay, we're carrying it. And then we put it in some Target bags. Okay. And then we can put it in a couple duffel bags. And eventually we're like, hey, I'm going to get a rolly suitcase. That's a lot easier. And then eventually like, well, let other people carry it for us a little bit. I mean, it's always ours. It's always at the end of the day, they give it back to us, but like letting other people carry it. And I have another friend that's widowed and he describes it as like a cinder block, right? He's like, just imagine walking around with a cinder block. And sometimes people can help you, but it's just there. And again, like it doesn't get lighter, but we get better at carrying it.
And stronger. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Well, I know you awesome. Have to go, so we'll go ahead and, and we'll cut it off. And thank you so much for joining us and tell us again. And I'm going to put links where they can find you, the names of your two podcasts.
Yes. So Sunny Mary Meadow, Sunny Mary Meadow. So the name, not the Christmas. So Sunny Mary Meadow. And then And that's on Instagram, Facebook, the podcast. Okay. And then the other podcast, kind of where I share a lot of like grief resources, that type of thing, is at bloomandgrow.llc or bloomandgrow with Liz Fiddler.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that was great. Mark, will you pray us out?
Sure. I'd love to. Lord, I'd just like to thank you so much for this ministry you've provided us with. And I'd just like to ask for you, Lord, to bless Liz and Brent in their new marriage, and that you just watch over them, take care of them, and keep their eyes pointed on you. And just to be with anybody, Lord, that's going through this really, really difficult season, Lord. Just thank you so much for being such a faithful and loving God. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, if you like this podcast, give it a little bing, 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 bing. Was that five? Five stars? Okay, six if you can on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen. Again, if you want to leave a voice message, we'd love to feature you on another podcast. I can't speak today, but that's okay. It's okay. We all have our strengths. I should be able to speak if I host a podcast. But anyways, if you want to be a guest, there's a link below. And find us on Facebook, Instagram, all the places.
All the places.
All the places. I think that about covers it. And we'll see you next time.
God bless you.